This is a Federal News Network podcast.
The Navy says that each and every sailor aboard the USS Theodore Roosevelt is now being tested for coronavirus. That's after some additional service members tested positive for the disease late this week. Navy officials say the crew is being isolated on that aircraft carrier while it's docked in Guam. But as Federal News Network's Jared Serbu reports, it's still not completely clear how the disease landed on board in the first place.
The Roosevelt was last in port about 2 weeks ago when the carrier visited Vietnam and sailors were allowed liberty. Officials say the risks appeared to be acceptable at that time because there were only 16 documented cases in that country, and they're still not willing to draw a direct line between that port visit and the Roosevelt's cases, since planes and helicopters have been moving to and from the ship since then. In any event, the Navy announced its first three cases aboard the Roosevelt earlier this week and medevaced all three sailors. Thomas Moodley, the acting secretary of the Navy, announced yesterday that at least five more cases were diagnosed and evacuated throughout the course of the week, but he says the ship is still operationally capable if it needs to deploy.
It will be pier side. No one on the crew will be allowed to leave anywhere into Guam other than on pier side, and we are already starting the process of testing on 100% of the crew to ensure that got that contained. The sailors who have been flown off the ship are currently doing fine. None of them have been required to be hospitalized because their symptoms are very mild. They're aches and pains and those types of things, sore throats, but nothing that required hospitalization. So they're in quarantine now on Guam.
Moodley says the ship already has 800 test kits on board, with more being flown to the carrier on Thursday. The vessel does have its own testing facilities on board, but some of the samples may need to be sent to shore-based labs in order to process all 5,000 sailors. As of Thursday, the Navy had a total of 133 confirmed COVID-19 cases, including 144 active duty members, 23 civilians, 16 dependents, and 19 contractors. Overall, the Defense Department reported 574 cases. That's 159 more than the day before, and more than seven times the number of diagnoses it had recorded at the same time last week. To reduce the spread, the Pentagon announced an unprecedented stop to overseas deployments and training on Wednesday and implemented new health protection measures for all of its worldwide bases. General James McConville is the Chief of Staff of the Army.
We're continuing to train mission essential personnel. But really what we're trying to do is we're trying to balance protecting the force so we can protect the nation. And then each commander is taking a look at the critical missions that they have to determine just how much training they have. But regardless of where we're training, we're putting in effect what I would call almost a safety bubble type mentality. So we're training squads, and really we're looking at squads in below type level. We are keeping social distancing, and when we maneuver a squad, we usually have 5 meters in between members, just in case, you know, in a tactical situation because of the threat. And in this case, there's an invisible threat, but we still need to keep that distance, and there's soldiers that need to perform critical functions around the world, and they will continue to do that based on the commander's assessment of the threat to the force and the threat to the mission.
In Korea, the Army has been able to limit coronavirus infections among military personnel to just a handful of cases by restricting people's movements, implementing social distancing, and strictly controlling access to installations, including temperature checks for anyone entering. McConville says officials are taking as many lessons as they can from that experience, but many of the practices are more difficult to implement at stateside bases, since roughly 70% of soldiers and employees who work there live outside the fence line.
Your dependents have to limit exposure too. And that's what's the challenge is. And that's what we're trying to coach and get out there, is because you can do perfect with, you know, with the soldiers, but the soldiers are living off post and they have dependents, and dependents are exposing themselves. And you have a real challenge. It's much more challenging in the United States because there's things that still have to be done. We have soldiers that have a mission. They got to continue to train. They still have to do combat operations. And so, but what you're really doing is mitigating risk. And that's what we're trying to do here.
In the meantime, military officials are mobilizing their own medical capabilities to help augment the U.S. healthcare system as coronavirus patients add strain to civilian hospitals. Mobile Army hospital units from Fort Campbell, Kentucky, and Fort Hood, Texas, will start setting up operations at the Javits Convention Center in New York over the weekend. A similar unit from Fort Carson, Colorado, is evaluating potential sites in the Seattle area. In both cases, they'll mainly be caring for patients who aren't infected with coronavirus. Lieutenant General Charles Flynn is the Army's Deputy Chief of Staff for Operations and Plans.
And the whole of government approach is that they're going to put a couple thousand beds in there. But what they're really doing is they're taking pressure off the local and state health care system and moving patients into that facility so that we can help those patients, because they're still going to have people with broken legs and car accidents and everything else that will need care for. Therefore, it just takes a lot of pressure off the local and state healthcare system to do that. So the idea here with the Corps of Engineers, with FEMA, and with the state and local officials is to work in collaboration so that we can provide skilled medical professionals to take some pressure off the local and state healthcare system with our Army professionals.
The Navy is taking similar steps with its two hospital ships. They won't be caring for COVID patients, but the Mercy and the Comfort will deploy to Los Angeles and New York, again, mainly to handle routine trauma cases.
We've accelerated the plan for Comfort. We had originally been looking at April 3rd, but in all likelihood, she's going to be getting underway this weekend. So hopefully she'll be there in New York by the early part of next week. I'm actually going to be going down there to the ship either tomorrow or Saturday. So sometime after that, she'll be leaving. And it will all depend on her transit time and how well she's functioning on the route up there. But I would say within a couple days of that.
Jared Serbu, Federal News Network.
Check out Jared's story and all of our coronavirus coverage at federalnewsnetwork.com. Stay up to date on your agency's latest responses to coronavirus. Visit our special resource page at federalnewsnetwork.com.
Kent State's reputation in the fashion industry is something you would hear from everyone when you're in New York City.
I will say we're quite well known for being hard workers.
Kent is really known for delivering well-rounded students.
Kent has one of the most prestigious fashion programs in the U.S. and also internationally ranked.
Our alumni are in every corner of the industry, every job position that you can imagine.
They all are ready. They have all the courses. They have everything under, you know, under their belt.
Ready for a new and exciting career challenge? At DHL Supply Chain, you're part of a team committed to creating innovative solutions for some of the biggest brands in the world. We're recognized as a best place to work, where people are valued, supported, and respected. DHL Supply Chain is hiring for a wide range of salaried operational and functional roles. Previous experience in logistics is welcome, but not required. All opportunities, no boundaries. DHL Supply Chain. Apply today at joindhl.com.